Chalashin for Chalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am lucky enough to have Adrian Bugatti with me, my co-host, because I wasn't able to go last night to the demonstration that they had at Sandton at the, where was it, Adrian?
So Discovery. It was at Discovery Health's right. offices. They've got a healthy food kitchen, which is a demonstration kitchen where they actually teach cooking classes there.
Fantastic.
And they cashed it just for this week, for the Shabbos project.
Oh, fantastic.
So it was amazing.
And of course, the visitor, our honored guest was none other than Tali Friedman. Okay. Healthy Food Studio, I believe. That's Discovery's building, inside their building. Okay. So tell us a little bit about this exciting moment. But I'm sure it didn't feel like 3 hours.
It went by in a flash, but it was just long enough, and yet I could have stayed there for ages more. It's an experience that us as kosher people aren't going to get, because this was an interactive cooking thing. So right. we all got to cook, plus we got to have supper at the same time. And it was a lot of fun. I was paired up with the photographer that they had there. The guy was videoing us chopping vegetables and stuff like that. Yes. And it was really, you know, the kitchen is beautiful and there's stations. So there were about 40 people there last night. And you went as a couple, but it was very few men, I must just tell you. Yes. The couples were mostly like moms and daughters or sisters, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it was such a nice experience. You know, I've been to these cooking experiences before, and I usually like, okay, I help make the food, but I can never taste anything because it's never kosher.
Exactly.
and this one was just so nice that we were able to do it. It was set up beautifully.
Beautiful. Because, I mean, her menu for last night was artichoke soup, fish fillets and Mediterranean sauce, ceviche with cherries, purple cabbage, eggplant, baladi with chickpeas and tahina, frika,
they called it, yes.
Frika, okay. Rib eye and lamb shoulder. Well, I can't wait to share the ribeye recipe with you, because you know meat is my thing.
Yes,
but
so I like the eggplant one.
You like the eggplant
one. I fell in love
one.
With the eggplant.
Okay,
it's beautiful.
So I think you know because this year, as you know, the rabbi, chief rabbi, has asked that we have it more of a healthy, Shabbos, especially after all the Yom Tovim.
Yes,
and. And this seems to be wonderful. I just wish that she'd given us a nice, healthy, sugar-free challah. If anybody has a recipe for that, I'm still working on that. I'm trying so hard. But you know what? There's a Yiddish word. There's a tum. I don't know. Yeah. I just can't get
sugar-free
it right.
Just doesn't have the same taste. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But because a lot of people weren't able to come, I would love to share your favorite, which was the eggplant, baladi, and chickpeas and tahina, which I must say I love as well. Love that idea. Love that thought. So let's give out the recipe for that.
Okay. So she was explaining that a baladi eggplant is this giant eggplant and that the head is, you know, the green part is actually more like a skirt. So it's much bigger than the eggplants we get here, and it's yes. only grown in Israel. So here she used sort of smallish eggplants, which she roasted in a bra.
Okay.
So they were cooked on the bra.
Oh, my favorite
way of cooking. Her suggestion was that if you had like a gas stove, you could grill it over the gas, mm-hmm. over the flames. It roasts it nice and quickly, but if you're going to do it in the oven, it can take about 45 minutes. The eggplant needs to be soft.
Right.
Like, almost like spreadable on your bread if you wanted to.
Yes.
So that was something amazing. And then what everybody got to do was they roasted the eggplant, and then in teams,
roasted the eggplant.
They did it beforehand. Not peeled. They were whole. Right. And then one group did this, made this recipe, and they did the tomatoes and the garlic and the lemon and thyme and, you know, all that. They'd already pre-roasted the chickpeas because they used raw chickpeas, and they'd done that. It took about 8 hours. I would say you could probably take a can of chickpeas, drain and rinse them, and put them in your oven and roast them. It doesn't take long. It's about 10 minutes. And what happens with those, oh, it's delicious, is they go like hard on the outside and they soft on the inside. So when you bite into them, they like pop.
Yeah.
So we do that a lot at home with some lemon and some thyme just for flavoring and that. It's beautiful.
So did you say that they just baked it for 8 hours solid?
They didn't soak it overnight? I think they soaked it. I think that's why she says 8 hours. They soaked it and then they baked it in the hour, you know, until it was soft. So exactly the same way, but we just cheat by using the canned ones. You know, it's just easier that way, you know, cause unless you're going to plan ahead, you know, like, then 8 hours, most people don't remember. Most people start cooking Shabbos on the morning. So yes, so that is a thing. And she, like I said, she grilled the eggplants over an open flame. So she put it on a bra. It was half an hour. They had a whole lot of bra Weber set up there.
Yes.
And they did that for the smoking process as well for some of the other foods where they had to smoke them in the Weber. It was absolutely outstanding. The skin needs to just start going black, like just be scorched. And it takes about 30 minutes. So you put it on, just watch it over the bra, and it turns regularly. Right. And it must be soft, 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 like butter inside. That was the thing. And then she cut them, but she left that little skirt at the end, which we normally take off.
Yes.
She left that on to hold it together. And just for presentation, it looked so beautiful.
That's lovely.
And cut it open and...
We sort of used to do it with pickled cucumbers.
Yes, that's right.
And fan them.
Yes.
Haven't seen that in a long time. an 80s thing.
Yes, very much so. Very much. So that was that. And then she placed them on a serving platter. And then the tomatoes, what she did with the tomato was she took only the tomato seeds, like the inside of the tomato. She almost left the skin separate. And then you just chop that up. So only wanted the seeds. It was only the inside. So the flesh of the tomato, you can keep that then for a normal salad. She just wanted the seeds for this recipe, which was quite an unusual thing.
Yes.
Unusual. And the garlic together. And she drizzled over tahini. So we discovered the difference between tahina and tahini.
Ah, tell me.
Tahina is the thick paste and tahini is like a sauce. It's a liquid, tahina. It hasn't been hardened or anything yet. So it's it's runnier.
Okay.
So you drizzle a little bit
more water in it or olive oil.
Olive oil. Okay. And just drizzled it over. And then she also drizzled over a balsamic glazed reduction, which was amazing.
Can we go from balsamic glazed reduction and go to the ads and come back straight afterwards? Back to balsamic vinegar after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Okay, so if you're feeling adventurous, you can try and reduce your balsamic vinegar yourself.
Yes, which is simple enough to do.
Yeah, you just got to cook it long enough until it turns into that thick syrup.
Right.
But otherwise, just go buy it. You know,
it's available.
But it was beautiful. It adds such a beautiful flavor to the eggplant and to the tahini dressing. It just was stunning. And then, so once you've put that all over and you've poured over your tahini and you've done your tomato seeds, then you crush the garlic, but she said she didn't like the hand crusher like we all use the mincer. She says because often it leaves that like little skin on the garlic behind. So you don't get the entire garlic when you press it like that.
Uh-huh.
So what she said was smash it and then chop it very finely And then she used the edge of her knife to mash it.
Smooth it out, yeah.
And then she put that in, you know, she chopped it up into little bits and then sprinkled that over.
Yes.
With the lemon juice and the thyme leaves and the hot chickpeas.
Oh.
So it sounded, and then she just literally salt and pepper and a bit of lemon juice drizzled over. And that was the thing.
So basically, what were the ingredients?
So literally, eggplant, tahini, tomato seeds.
Yes. But how many of you?
Okay, so it was one eggplant.
Right.
But she was talking about the large eggplant. So yes. If you've got a smaller one,
two.
I would use two.
Right.
This recipe serves four people.
Okay.
So it's one large eggplant or two small ones. I would say use the smaller ones. They cook quicker.
Yes.
If you know, and also not everybody wants a lot of eggplant. So if you're going to double up the recipe or something like that, you want to do a whole lot of smaller eggplants.
Right.
The raw tahini, just, you know, pour over until you think you've had enough.
Right.
Basically. Tomato seeds. So it was one tomato with just the seeds.
Amazing. So you sort of just cut in half, scoop your fingers into it and pull out
that's
the tomatoes.
And then I would keep the tomatoes to make a normal green salad.
Right.
So one garlic clove peeled and very finely chopped, the juice of one lemon and a handful of thyme leaves. So, you know, if you're going to, it is preferable obviously to use fresh lemon juice, but if you've got bottled lemon juice, you could probably just do a tablespoon then. And then the thyme leaves, she used fresh. I'm sure dry would work just as well.
Yes.
And then,
Leaves.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. She's why I use dry.
But, you know, it's nice not to have a coriander dish. You know, it's lovely to hear thyme coming into something.
So that was, that was something different.
How much thyme did she say we must put in?
She didn't. Oh, a handful.
Handful.
So it depends on how big your hands are.
Okay.
Okay. Half a cup of organic small chickpeas soaked for 8 hours and cooked until tender. Like I said, I'd probably use a can and rinse them, stick them in my oven. It usually takes about 10, 15 minutes and then they crisp up, but the insides are still soft.
Right.
We just skip the 8 hours of soaking and roasting. She used Atlantic sea salt, coarse black pepper and olive oil. And one of the things she said about the olive oil, which was quite amazing, was she said that different olive oils have different flavors.
Well, you have Spanish, you have Portuguese.
Right. And she suggested a sweeter olive oil.
Ah. So what is a sweeter olive oil?
I don't know. But I'm
maybe
sure it would be a
Greek
one.
That we should put a little bit of sugar in.
So yeah, because I know the one I use is very peppery, and I think that is Italian.
Ah, okay.
The one I use is an Italian olive oil. So that was, and it was just so amazing. The flavors, and even people who didn't like eggplant tried it, and they also said, actually, I would eat an eggplant like this. You know, so that was quite a thing, because eggplant is not for everybody's taste.
Yeah.
It's an acquired taste, I think, for a lot of people. If it doesn't come as eggplant mayonnaise, they don't eat it.
You know, I'm loving at the moment on a Friday night, beautiful homemade colors and people sort of breaking it off and having lots of little plates along the table, bowls. And everybody's loving it and it's become so much more interactive. So this week I am going to make that. This one loves eggs, so I do an eggplant mayonnaise little bowl. And then I do another little bowl of something else. And it's just lovely.
Well, that's it, yes. Just being able to dip
starters.
Stuff.
It's a starter.
Yeah.
People aren't eating like,
you know,
like
people can't afford to eat like we did.
Absolutely.
Health-wise or budget-wise.
Exactly.
So that is a big thing. And it's just more, you know, to be able to not have to stand there and serve everybody is also a big thing.
Yeah, that's also nice.
Yes.
If you don't have to
everybody help
stand,
yourself. I'm
stand for hours.
I'm also taking a rest on Friday night.
Good for you. I am, but I still want to make this.
Oh no, absolutely.
Because,
I'm going to do it for next Friday night for the Shabbos project because we've got guests that night.
Clever. Mm. Okay. It's amazing what this Shabbos project has done. I mean, when was it? Yesterday, day before, I don't know, on Facebook, that there's a complex in Norwood. And yes. They've got everybody, bring your table out, bring your food, and let's just all get to know each other.
Yes.
I mean, how often do you sort of look at your neighbor, hello, how are you, yes, lovely, whatever.
Pass each other in the parking lot.
Exactly. And just give a wave. Yeah, they're all going to meet one another.
I think it's amazing. Oh, so beautiful. The lady I work with, she's hosting her building. So everybody's given money towards it because not everybody who's coming is kosher.
Right.
And she's buying and cooking and everything. And she says from her building, they're already at 22 people.
Fantastic.
So that's fantastic. I know, I asked to host, you know, so I've got people from overseas that are coming to spend the Shabbos project where it was created here in South Africa.
And isn't that amazing?
So I'm looking forward to that.
So are these people coming out from Israel?
No, America.
Oh, America.
Yes.
And do you know them?
No.
Oh, my word. As somebody said, I think it was, he's on Kathy's show. He said, well, he says, I'm a bit of a private person. He says, I don't know if I could handle strangers in my home.
But I love it.
That's amazing.
I love having visitors.
Adrian, well done. Your whole family. So now.
Yes.
Something that I know everybody loves is a fish fillet in Mediterranean sauce.
Oh, I've never had fish like this. And it was a plain hake.
It was hake.
It just fell apart. It was soft. It was juicy. It was so amazing.
Okay, so I'll read this one and then I'll give you the next one to read. And I think that I don't think we can go wrong for the Shabbos project on all these magnificent recipes.
I just don't know
recipes.
That I could cook my hake like that. I've never been able to.
Okay. Well, this is what we need.
It was amazing.
One large sea fish weighing about 400 to 650 grams. 3 tomatoes, filleted and sliced in small dices. Were they very red tomatoes? I would imagine.
I'm trying to remember. We didn't do that one last night. We did one with like a. Is that the recipe with the nuts? They were then fine diced.
No.
Mixed nuts.
Tomatoes. 3 tomatoes. 1/2 cup of pitted calamata olives, chopped.
Yes, we did have that last night.
Okay.
And they were very fine. They were finely diced.
Everything was finely diced.
Yeah. And the dicing was done mostly by the guests.
That's amazing.
So I guess we had the 3 different stations.
Yes.
Like rows, not even stations. And each row did, so it was like, I'd say 10 people of each did a different recipe prep.
Fantastic.
And then that was used to serve supper.
Because there's nothing more frustrating than having to stand and chop.
Yes.
Calamata olives and tomatoes and this and that. Yeah.
Stunning.
Get your guests to do it for you.
Exactly.
Then she added 3 cloves of finely chopped garlic, obviously done the same way as explained before, 2 sprigs of basil, 1 sprig of thyme, 4 to 5 vine leaves when in season. So what are we going to use? Baby spinach or spinach leaves?
Yeah. We use baby spinach.
Okay. And don't be nervous. I always, you know, people always say to me, but you know, baby spinach leaves they're so tiny. Flatten them out and put about 5 or 6 overlapping each other and you're great.
I much prefer
stuff that with mint.
It's also easier to check.
Exactly. 1.5 lemons squeezed, 1/2 cup of olive oil, Atlantic sea salt and ground black pepper. And all you do is you place the fillets on a baking dish lined with parchment paper. Okay, then you rub them with a little bit of olive oil and generously sprinkle the Atlantic sea salt over it. And you bake for 4 minutes with the skin facing up.
Yes.
In an oven which is preheated to 240. Now that's high.
It was.
But
that's why it was only 4 minutes.
I always remember my mother saying to me, when you fry fish, fry it in hot oil.
Mm.
Because fish does not have to cook for a long time.
No.
So this is fantastic. And then if you have a bunch of wine leaves, place them in the saucepan. We are going to use spinach leaves. And we cook it over a saucepan on the stove in heat heat it without the oil.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you add the olive oil, the tomatoes, the olives, the garlic, lemon juice and herbs, and you cook on medium flame until it boils, and then lower the flame and cook for an additional 2 to 4 minutes. Finally, add the salt and pepper, and serving suggestion, pour some of the sauce into the serving dish and place the fish on top. Pour the remainder of the sauce and drip raw tahina. Nice.
Mm.
Chardonnay fits beautifully with this classic dish. Upgrade the sauce with the dried sweet peppers. Now, I know that my family are chili freaks. So I think I would add chili to that. I mean, it sounds terrific.
It is, absolutely. It was, I mean, the fish that we had, even the ceviche.
Ceviche. And you can tell us about the ceviche, because I've tried to make it a few times.
And it never
and
worked.
And the family have sort of gone, what is this raw fish?
Yes. So that would happen pretty much in my house if I even thought about doing it.
Yes.
So the ceviche, she once again used hake this time.
Yes.
But she said any fish, you know, is great. So, but I think the hake is the perfect one because it's a nice white and it's a firm, fish.
Right.
If your family eats king clip, then I'd probably use the king clip for it just to upgrade the dish a little. But hake, I mean, she did it with hake last night and it was absolutely outstanding. I've tried ceviche before, also got the same responses, like, excuse me. You know,
chopped herring rather, thanks, next time.
And my kids don't even eat the chopped herrings.
Oh, okay.
So they, you know, fish is not a big thing in my house. They really, I have to force it. If it isn't a tuna, it doesn't get eaten.
Yeah, our house as well.
Yeah. So, and it just, it had this beautiful flavor to it. So, it was 400 grams of fresh fish, any white fish, which is great. The zest and juice of 2 limes or lemons, she says, whichever you've got or prefer.
I love the limes.
I also do. I think limes have just such a fresh flavor to them. And I'm tired of lemons. Lemons and everything. So 4 shallots cut thin in strips. She said, if you can't get shallots, which sometimes you can't get, you can use the red onions.
Okay, they're nice and sweet.
Yeah. 25 fresh cherries pitted, a bunch of coriander, 1 green onion sliced diagonally. So green onion is spring onion. And a chili finely chopped, 5 tablespoons of high quality virgin olive oil and Atlantic sea salt. And that was it. So she said, clean the fish. And remove all the bones, cut lengthwise into 1 centimeter pieces.
Okay, so the fishmonger can clean our fish for us.
Right,
Thank you.
And I learned something this week to make fish, just to keep it more firm and more, was they covered it, they said pour some vinegar over it and then rinse it before you pat it dry.
Oh, it's like potatoes. And my mother was, put a little bit of vinegar in the potatoes and what? They'll never go black.
Yeah. Okay. So it was really nice. Zest the limes and then squeeze the limes or the lemons over and set the juice aside. So you've zested it and then you over the fish and then you put the lime juice in a jar. So you're going to start already your so-called cooking process for the ceviche by using the zest.
Right.
Marinate the green onion or the spring onion in ice water so that they curl up. So she's asked, you're cutting it longwise, not like we would do in rings.
Okay.
You're cutting it down.
Lengthwise?
So and then the ice water makes it curl up a little bit.
Nice.
Separate your coriander leaves. Place your fish slices on a serving plate and assemble in this order. Sprinkle the Atlantic sea salt, coriander leaves, green onion curls, shallots, lime, chili, cherries, and olive oil. So in that order she wanted. And to finish it off, decorate it with the lime zest. And serve it immediately.
And so, that's it.
Yeah. And that was it. And it was just such a nice flavor to it.
Right. And you didn't have to toss it together or anything?
No. Everybody got it served on this tiny little square.
Oh, okay.
So you give each person a taster.
Wow, you have to have a beautiful fish knife to slice it so thin.
It wasn't sliced thin though.
It wasn't?
No, they were cut into cubes.
Ah.
And then done that way. So you, but because of the lemon juice or the lime juice and the cooking, when
it
you,
cooks it.
When you open, when you cut it or when you took yeah. your fork into it, it fell apart. It had it already so-called, like it's cold cooking, cooked. I suppose we'd yeah. call it. And it was actually very, very nice.
So. After the break, we're going to come back with some wonderful recipes from our terrific friend, Tully Friedman, who's come all the way from Israel, who are most of you, I'm sure, know Tully Friedman. And we'll be back with you in a bit.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Tully, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be at last night's demonstration, and one of our journalists came, and she said it was so incredible that I had to phone you and talk to you directly, personally. And
thank you.
I hope that you're actually relaxing today after what I believe was an incredible, incredible demonstration last night. And you're out here for the Shabbos Project. And Tully Friedman, I'm sure, is a household name, not only in Israel, but so many people know about Tully Friedman all over the world. So, Tully.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did it all get started? And just Tully Friedman, tell us who you are, you know, how it all began.
First of all, for me, it's like an honor to be here and to take a part of the Shabbat program and just being here in Johannesburg, which I'm about to fall in love in a minute. And about me, I'm a chef almost 23 years now. This is what I do most of my life. I have an atelier in the heart of Machni Yehuda Market in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I run all my food tours. And usually what we do is like we do a workshop while we pick up things during walking in the market and see the beautiful things that we have in Jerusalem. And then we cook together with the people and we eat, of course, because we have to. We eat all day long.
Yes.
So to come here for me and to cook here for the Jewish community and for the Shabbat program, like it's more than a blessing. Like I feel very honored to do that. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And also cooking with David Hicks was outstanding as well.
And where is David Hicks as part of the restaurant group Marble, am I correct?
Yes. And okay. It was really amazing as well.
Yes.
So sharing recipe with two different countries' cuisine and see the simplicity coming out from it and how it's easy to share things and create something which is totally different, I also enjoyed it. This is why I feel like I'm very blessed.
Now, how did it come about that how did you come to the Jewish Project and to the Shabbos Project how did you join the project? How did you hear about it?
I just met Rabbi Dovi and Rabbi Bruzin, and they came to Israel to meet me, and it was like all of a sudden everything just came out. And like when you're talking about something and at the end it's become like through, like the imagination and the dream comes together and creates something which is incredible. So yeah. things happen sometimes by accident, just meeting people.
Yes.
And this is how the right things rolling up.
Right. Do you have any cookbooks?
I do. I have a cookbook, which is unfortunately only in Hebrew, but my second book is about to be published soon.
Yes.
Really hope so.
Yes.
And it's going to be in English, and it has like more than 100 different recipes, and it's all about freshness and the market, and like what symbolized most my cuisine is that my cuisine has no spices. It just has salt, pepper, and very, very good spices. Types of olive oil, which gives a lot of flavors to the food, And the idea of it is to keep the freshness and to keep the real taste of the product itself. If we're eating a cabbage, we need to feel the cabbage. If we're eating a fish or a meat or a poultry, whatever, just leave the right flavors of what it is. And I think, and this is like what I believe, like, this is what leads me all around in everything that I do, even in my personal life, that simplicity can be the best things.
Well, this year I know that the rabbi has called for a healthy Shabbos project. So you certainly, I was looking at your menu and I see here you have artichoke soup. And this was just last night's fresh fillet and Mediterranean sauce. I mean, I can imagine that Mediterranean sauce must have been superb with all those beautiful fresh tomatoes. And
right.
Yeah. And ceviche.
Fresh tomatoes and a lot of fresh herbs.
Yes.
And we don't really need nothing more than that. If we use good ingredients and they are very, very fresh, and mainly if they are seasonally, like we can create everything.
Right. And now, I mean, I'm just looking, cherries, ceviche and cherries. I mean, that's incredible. your eggplant. Chickpeas, I mean, everything was obviously fresh, and the tahina, and we call it tahina here.
Yes, tahina, which I brought from the market, by the way. I brought it all the way.
Really?
Yes, and like, wow, I wish I couldn't bring more.
I'm sure. And have you cooked for some famous people?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, tell us.
All around the world.
Yeah.
Yes. I cooked for Mitt Romney, for Martha Stewart. Nothing comes up more, but like tons of people from all over the world. Some of them very famous celebs as well.
Yes.
It was like almost always a pleasure for me, but cooking for famous people, it's nice and it's really beautiful, but just cooking for people, this is what I really, really like. So it doesn't really matter who they are, just to see the passion in people's eyes, I think this is, wow, it's amazing for me. And this is, the feedback is so immediately, and this is what I like most of what I'm doing.
And you sort of incorporate them, do you sort of go into the kitchen with them, or do you just sort of serve it, at their tables, you know, without them actually seeing what's going on behind?
Here at the studio yesterday or at my atelier?
At your place.
At my place.
Yes.
I have staff working with me, so some of the chefs are doing most of the things, but I always make sure to be around and just to observe. Like I'm leading it with like explaining and talking a lot about Israeli cuisine, and just demonstrate in front of them. They can participate in some of the cooking, but not in all.
Right.
At the end, we want the food to taste very good, so we always need to do the finals for everything, but they do participate, and it's really beautiful to see everyone cooking together. The interaction of the people in the kitchen, it's totally different. Suddenly everything is like eye level, and everyone like speaks the same language, and this is what the kitchen creates when people come inside the kitchen.
Right.
Simplicity again.
Absolutely. It's a whole different and a new way of cooking where people actually taste and feel the ingredients. And I know that you are very, very busy with 4 children as well. So do you take a lot home from your place for supper?
Actually, no.
No.
Actually, no, my children would rather have it fresh and on the spot. So I do cook a lot at home as well. I cannot avoid it.
Right.
But you know, I'm trying not to be very busy, not very successful about that. Yes. I also have a public position today. I also run Machne Yehuda Market, and I'm the chair of the market.
Oh,
so actually, I'm in charge of more than 600 different stalls, 450 different vendors that works in this amazing market. And we have a lot to do, and it's a very challenging job to do, and I'm very honored that I got it from the mayor of Jerusalem to be responsible of all this beautiful market, which is one of the highlights of the Israeli stories.
Absolutely, place. One of my highlights too. And
sorry, can't hear you.
Sorry, I was saying one of my highlights too. The highlights of my life.
I can totally understand.
Now, how did it all start for you with the cooking? Who would you say was your biggest influence in this?
My grandmother, for sure. Yes. I grew up in her house for 11 years since I was 2 weeks old. She had a huge house in Sfat in the north.
Yes.
And she used to host people during the year, mainly Holocaust member.
Really?
And she used to cook for everyone. So her salon was like a huge, kitchen, and like everyone used to step in and just see what she's doing.
Yes.
And giving like some of what they're used to do, like from the German cuisine or from the Polish cuisine, from Hungarian, Romanian. So it has
yes.
so much influence. And this is like, I think, what symbolized the Israeli cuisine. It's such a huge melting pot of all these cultures.
Right.
So it took us some decades to create a really interesting kitchen, but we did at the end. And I'm so proud to say that today the Israeli cuisine is one of the most lead cuisine in the world. So, and being a part of it, it's like,
yes.
again, honor.
Absolutely. You must have so many stories from all those survivors. Wow. But
tons of them.
So,
yes.
How long are you here for? I believe you're going back before the Shabbos project.
I'm going on Shabbat night, yes.
Okay, so we're
leaving Johannesburg,
and
which is such a beautiful
city. Isn't it? Isn't it a beautiful city?
And people here are so warm and welcome, and I want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for joining us. And one,
thank you very much.
One other little question. If I had to come into your kitchen, and I opened
yes.
your cupboard door, your pantry door, what is probably one of the most favorite ingredients I would find there? What is your go-to ingredient in your cupboard, in the kitchen?
I would say that if I only choose something to take with me for a desert island,
yeah.
it will always be lime.
Limes, okay. And in your fridge?
Always.
Your fridge?
And I have nothing in my fridge.
You mean you're that fresh?
Everything. I have the market just under
of
me.
Of course.
Like, I have the market.
Of course.
So.
Well, I must say, I'm hoping to come tonight. Please God,
I'll really be happy to see you.
I just had a little operation on my mouth, but I couldn't really talk properly last night because I was still numb and biting my tongue. But
I
tonight,
really hope you'll feel better.
I will come and see you, and thank you for talking to us. It's been really fantastic. Now, can we get any of your recipes online?
Online, I think you can get my recipes on my website.
Yes.
And
what is it?
Atelier.com.
Okay, can you spell that for us?
Atelier. Oh, I missed it.
Okay.
Atelier.com. I can text it.
Please, okay, text it to us, and then you can text it to me, and then I'll announce it online on the program. Well, it's been terrific talking to you, and thank you for joining us on this and giving us advice and sharing your recipes with us for the Shabbos project, which is going to be a healthy one this year.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye, Tali.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and we are chatting about Tali Friedman, who's a guest of the Shabbos Project, who's come out here to really teach us how to eat healthy, how to enjoy food, and how to use minimal ingredients and still get the most magnificent taste. So I'm going to share her lamb shoulder recipe because I have Adrian Bugatti in the studio with me. She's the lady who does it on every alternate week. And she was there last night. I'm, please God, going tonight. And we are going to be talking about, I'll be doing lamb shoulder, and then you can do the tropical
fruit platter
with coconut, whatever. Anyway, okay, so shoulder of lamb. You will need 2 lamb shoulders. She says about 1.4 kilos, so that must be raised, shoulders of lamb at 1.4 kilo. Mm-hmm. 2 springs, sprigs, it says springs,
okay.
but I know what she means. 2 sprigs of rosemary, the long ones I would imagine, an ice bath to chill, olive oil, salt and pepper. And all you do, color the meat on the grill or in a pan, quite high heat. You don't want it to burn, but you want it to get that beautiful caramelization. And then place the lamb into a sous vide bag, into sous vide bags. Okay, so those were, what did she use last night?
So, I'm trying to remember. Oh, we didn't do the shoulder last night.
Okay.
But I would say a sous vide, I think if you don't have a sous vide bag,
you ask,
I would use a Ziploc.
A Ziploc, or
those
you
big
can
Ziplocs.
Ask your butcher, please, to put
vacuum.
Vacuum pack it for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, cook at 68 degrees Celsius for 90 minutes. Then you chill it in an ice bath. To serve, this is fascinating. To serve, reheat in the water bath for 30 minutes and finish on the grill with olive oil and seasoning. This meat can also be cooked slowly on the fire to the desired temperature, but for ease of service, we find that the sous vide method works best. Okay, so if you have a...
I believe a sous vide machine is the best thing ever.
I heard that. I heard that. And I actually tried to do my own little homegrown test. We had the thermometer in and didn't let it go further than that. Next, and then I got so frustrated, I just stuck everything on the griller, on the braai.
Yes, that's exactly. To me, I would braai it.
For those out there who love doing things the sous vide way, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful recipe. But please share that recipe with us, Adrian. Because
okay.
Now I think we've got some starters, we've got a main meal.
Now we have to
We've also, we haven't discussed the purple cabbage, but that doesn't matter because I'm sure you'll get it on the website.
Tropical fruit platter with a coconut ice cream. Okay, this coconut ice cream is so easy to make. So her ingredients were 1 kilo of pineapple, which are absolutely in season right now.
Yeah.
Granadilla, but I think you could, you know, if it's not in season, you could find anything else. Pomegranates would be
not
nice.
Not sour, but maybe
a little color.
And lemon.
Yeah. She had mangoes, 2 mangoes, mm-hmm. 2 tins of reduced fat coconut milk, which you can get here.
Fat coconut.
Reduced fat.
Oh, reduced fat. Yes, that's a green one.
Yes.
Right.
20 mils of honey and 2 sprigs of mint or lemon verbena. So mint is easier. You can sometimes get lemon verbena, but it's not, and that's not always easily available.
Yeah.
So to make the ice cream, I mean, how easy is this? You pour the coconut milk into a stainless steel tray, you whisk it very well, and then freeze it. Once it's frozen, you take it out of the freezer, you put it in your fruit processor, you blend it until it's smooth, you add your honey, and you blend it again till it's combined, and stick it into the freezer again until you need it.
Now, when you talk about a tray, talking about a regular Swiss roll,
like a roasting tray, I'd say, because you need a slight lip to it, okay. Otherwise it'll overflow. That literally
that's fantastic because that'll freeze quickly, and you can actually do it
in a few hours.
In the morning,
Much quicker than an ice cream. So then remove the skin of the pineapple, slice it into uniform rings and arrange on a platter. Peel the mangoes, slice them into wedges and arrange them on the same plate as the pineapple. Yes. Cut your granadillas in half, scoop out the pulp and scoop it over your mango and your pineapple. And lastly, you garnish with your sprigs of mint or lemon verbena and you serve it with the coconut ice cream. That's fresh, and with this heat, perfect dessert.
And how?
So, yes.
So, those were just some of the incredible recipes. Thanks to the Shabbos Project for bringing Tali Friedman out. I wanted to get all those recipes out during the week, because she's already going back, so that everybody can start making exciting recipes. She does obviously do a lovely, cabbage.
The ribeye was also, I think we had the ribeye last night.
And the ribeye, how was that soft?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Beautiful. Oh, okay. So I have to give you the ribeye at another stage. And the cabbage salad, purple cabbage salad looks amazing. I mean, she puts in tahina, nut mix, pecans, cashews, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts. Use as many as you can and finish. You know, it reminds me of a story. A few years ago, a friend of mine went to Israel. And she said, Sharon, you have got to get the recipe for this cabbage salad. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, this must be the cabbage salad. So I've got to find out from Lee if this is the correct cabbage salad. She said it was just nuts and cabbage. Which is what this looks like.
It's stunning. So she made a version of it last night with green cabbage though.
Yes.
And it was outstanding.
Really?
It really was, yeah.
Because I'm just thinking you actually cook the cabbage?
Yes.
With the little
You blanched
water.
It.
Okay. Mm. You blanched it and then you lay it on a baking sheet.
Yeah, in the oven.
With the cabbages as a cut portion. Okay. And then you prepare, heat it on 220 and bake it for about 40 minutes. I know this is just too exciting for words. We have to put this on the site.
Yes.
Tali, thank you. And thank you, Adrian, for going last night and sharing all this exciting,
healthy such a pleasure.
Shabbos Project food. I can't wait for the Shabbos Project. I love
know,
it.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
It was the first time my daughter met her now husband.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's the Shabbos Project. So it's
good memories for you.
Such incredible memories for us.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the guests. You know, I signed up for the Shabbos Project to host.
Yes.
And that's how I got my guests for Shabbos. And I'm hoping that they'll call and say they're more because,
you're amazing. You're just going to put them out on beds on the...
Oh, no, they're not staying at me just for the meals.
Okay.
I did offer beds, but I can only take like two people. We're kind of a full house this year.
Yes.
Just for the meals.
Which I think is a beautiful thing. So go out there, meet people, discuss Shabbos in your different countries, different areas, different farm areas.
Because they've all been hosted the outlying Jewish areas.
Amazing.
I think it's stunning that they're coming to Joburg.
Absolutely.
Just to share with the country.
What the chief rabbi and his wife have done.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah. Worldwide. Anyway, now I'm told, hurry up, Sharon. Okay. So remember, it's the eat in meat that makes the show complete.